Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country. This is the text. This is the other part of Christmas. It's the other part, and it is the part that gets dark. Herod, King Herod, called by historians called Herod the Great, well, he ruled a fairly sizable area of land and ruled for many years. But should he be called the Great? I question. Herod is called a bloody king. And you ask, what does that mean? Well, spelling it out. He had three of his own sons killed because he thought they were plotting. He had one of his mothers-in-law killed. Herod gave orders that when he died, a lot of the leaders in Jerusalem were to be slaughtered. Why would he give that order? So there would be weeping and lamentation rather than celebration and singing when he died. He was a monster. He was ruthless. And then as he grew older, he became more and more paranoid. He was insane, evil and insane, and that was something to worry about. If you were close to Herod, you had to watch your step, you had to watch your words, you had to watch your facial expression, because if he got it into his mind, even for a second, that you were against him, you could very quickly be dead. That's the world Jesus comes into. A world ruled by bloody King Herod in Jerusalem. So when Matthew says in the Gospel of Matthew, Herod was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him, well, everybody knew what that meant. Anything could happen. And when it did, they would hear about it with horror. Stage is set. The kingdom of God is coming into the world, but it is not going to be a peaceful transition, is it? Jesus brings his kingdom, but there were enemies, sin, death, and hell. And Jesus meets all of those enemies and defeats them. Martin Luther says at one point, what does it mean to have a God? And then he says, a God is whatever a person looks to for all good things. And then he says, and runs to for help in trouble. So God is not just simply the God of the good times. He is the God of when everything goes wrong. It's Christmas time. We've heard the angels song, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We've heard this. Peace coming into the world, but peace comes through this child laid in a manger. This child who shepherds go to see because he's the Lamb of God, and the Lamb of God is the one designated to be the one slain for the sins of the world. They know what sacrificing lambs is all about. The wise men come and they bring gifts, gold and frankincense. And what is that third gift? Myrrh. For suffering and burial.
Yeah, bring that to a baby shower. Okay?
It's Christmas time. Don't forget the other part of Christmas, because you see, peace that is simply a feeling or a passing moment or a mood of the season, well, it isn't really that much peace, is it? Peace that comes in that way leaves just as quickly. But peace, peace that is brought by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, is peace that can last. And that's what Jesus is for us. Jesus comes into our world for sinners who need a Savior, for lives that are filled with trouble, for souls badly in need of peace, for lives in turmoil, for those who need for Him to bring them hope. And on Christmas morning, it's become somewhat traditional that Christmas Eve is for the reading of the Christmas story, but on Christmas Day, we end up turning to John chapter 1, where it says that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We need for Him to be that light shining in the darkness. And the light shining in the darkness will be tested. Time after time it will be tested. And each time God will show that He is faithful and trustworthy. So there we are. There's King Herod. And King Herod has demands. And those demands are absolute. The demands of every tyrant are absolute, aren't they? And we have King Jesus. And King Jesus has authority. And His authority is absolute. And His authority touches every part of life. And there's going to be a conflict. It's a battle for power, supremacy. And in that battle between the tyrant king and the savior king, well, guess who's not going to win? That would be Herod. Also, by extension, who else is not going to win in that battle? Any tyrant king, any ruler who claims more authority than they are entitled to. Any authority that stands against Jesus Christ. So, Matthew chapter 2 takes us to the darkest place in the Christmas story. Will the light still shine there? That's the real question. Will the light shine in the darkest place? Matthew quotes Jeremiah. A voice heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Before answering this, just a couple more details. Ramah is near Bethlehem. Rachel was buried at Ramah. So Rachel's tomb. After the fall of Jerusalem, 6th century B.C., Ramah is where the Babylonians gathered the people of Israel, and they chained and bound them together. And chained and bound is the most pleasant way of talking about it. And then they force-marched them into Babylon, with a lot of them dying along the way. Others living out their lives as slaves. And this voice about a voice heard in Ramah, in the Old Testament, that's what it's talking about, the return of the people of Israel. But, and here's where it starts turning, when you hear one verse from the prophecy, what you are supposed to do is, in your mind, hear the rest of the prophecy. Verses 16 and 17. Watch how it works out. The promise in Jeremiah had to do with coming back from exile. They shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future. Your children shall come back to their own country. Well and good enough. Has to do with return from exile. But then that prophecy runs into the New Testament, and in the New Testament it connects up with Jesus. That's a big idea. When it connects up with Jesus, things happen. Everything changes when it connects up with Jesus, just like in our lives. When they connect up with Jesus, something happens. Well, in the New Testament, when this prophecy connects up to Jesus, it means something more than just returning from a distant land. It means returning from the land of the enemy, and the enemy being death. Okay? They shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future. Your children shall come back. Ah. Now it's talking about the innocent little ones at Bethlehem. God knows them. God has not forgotten them. They will return. It is a specific prophecy of hope directed to the people of Bethlehem and saying, your children, they're not going to be left out of the kingdom of God. They will be there. They are known by Jesus. Jesus has joined himself, connected himself to them, and so they are going to live. They will be there when Jesus returns. When he returns and gathers all people together, then they will be among the great multitude singing his praises, rejoicing in God, and beginning the business of living for all eternity. So, this is about Jesus, who comes into this world to be so much more than a baby in a manger. Who comes into this world to face the darkness of the world and of sin and of death and conquer. Jesus, who went into the darkness of Good Friday and he conquered. Jesus, who went into the darkness of having the wrath against sin poured out on him and he conquered. Jesus, who faced the enemies of sin, death, and the devil and he conquered. Jesus, who said, an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. It is about the word of God promising that those children who were swept away into death will one day return and stand with us on the glorious day of Jesus' return and sing and call out and rejoice in salvation belonging to our God, salvation in Jesus Christ, there is a promise. It's a promise that God holds out to every Christian parent who has lost a child. There's a reward for your work. There is hope for your future. Your children shall come back. Promise held out to every Christian who has lost a loved one. They will return from the land of the enemy, from death. They will return back to their own country, to God's kingdom. It's a promise held out to all of us. Because the promise is there in that connection with Jesus Christ. When you are connected in with Jesus Christ, you are connected in with everything he is and everything he does. You are connected to the salvation that is in him. You are connected to the forgiveness that's in him. You're connected to the light that is in him. You're connected to the eternal life that is in him. Because once again, what does the Bible say about the light that is in him? John chapter 1. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Or, different translation, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. Or, different translation, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not comprehended it. Or, different translation, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not swallowed it up. fascinating verse because in the Greek, that one word means all four of those meanings: overcome, understood, comprehended, swallowed up. The light of Jesus Christ shines in the darkness, and his light is an eternal light. And as long as there is the light of Christ for you and in you, why, that's an eternal thing. The darkness cannot swallow you up. And this is the answer to the question, how far does God go in bringing the salvation that we need? He goes all the way to the most extreme place in the world and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.